Today is Thursday, July 24th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Mobilize the working class to stop the Gaza genocide, a statement of the WSWS editorial board. Every day brings new reports of the genocidal violence the Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, are unleashing on the defenseless Palestinian population. With food distribution to Gaza reduced to a trickle, dozens of Palestinians are dying of hunger each day, and more than 1,000 have been shot by IDF forces while trying to reach aid distribution points. In Deir al-Bala, raided by Israel on Sunday, Palestinians returning to their homes are met with scenes of devastation. Complete destruction, as one resident described it in comments to CNN, quote, there is nothing that indicates a source of life. World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said on Wednesday that the people of Gaza are confronting, quote, mass starvation. A large proportion of the population of Gaza is starving, unquote. While the Israeli government is carrying out these atrocities, the United States and the major European imperialist powers are directly complicit. For nearly 2 years, they have armed and financed Israel as it wages genocide in Gaza, criminalized domestic opposition to the slaughter, and politically justified this historic crime, one that ranks alongside the atrocities committed by the Nazis during World War II. A coalition of European powers and other close allies of U.S. imperialism issued a cynical statement Monday, trying to absolve themselves of responsibility. In the statement, Britain, France, Italy, Spain, Canada, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand, along with a number of smaller powers, now acknowledge Israel's undeniable resort to mass murder. Yet they remain steadfast in their support for the Zionist regime. Refusing to call the Gaza War a genocide, they only offer vague euphemisms while fully endorsing the policies of Washington, which, alongside Berlin, is the main provider of arms to Israel. They state, quote, the Israeli government's aid delivery model is dangerous, fuels instability, and deprives Gazans of human dignity. We condemn the drip-feeding of aid and the inhumane killing of civilians, including children, seeking to meet their most basic needs of water and food. It is horrifying that over 800 Palestinians have been killed while seeking aid. Calling for a permanent ceasefire, they conclude, quote, we affirm our complete support to the efforts of the U.S. to achieve this, unquote. But Washington is not seeking peace any more than Israel is focused on delivering aid to Gaza. For nearly 2 years, the U.S. has shipped bombs, artillery, drones, and other weapons used by Israel to target hospitals, refugee camps, medics, and starving women and children. From the outset, top Israeli officials openly declare their genocidal aims, referring to Palestinians as, quote, human animals, unquote, and invoking the biblical command to exterminate the, quote, seed of Amalek, unquote. 6 months ago, Trump pledged that Washington would take over Gaza, expel the Palestinians, quote, level it out, unquote, and turn it into a beach resort, the, quote, Riviera of the Middle East, unquote. Now, Israeli officials are moving to implement this plan, which has underpinned their policy from the beginning. On Tuesday, in the Knesset, fascist Israeli finance minister Bezalel Smotrich called on Israel to, quote, conquer and settle Gaza, declaring, quote, we have strong support from President Trump to turn Gaza into a prosperous region, a coastal city with settlement and employment, unquote. The statement from the European and imperialist powers refrains from labeling the Israeli war a genocide and ethnic cleansing, but they are well aware that this is what is taking place. Indeed, their statement declares, quote, proposals to remove the Palestinian population into a humanitarian city are completely unacceptable. Permanent forced displacement is a violation of international humanitarian law, unquote. Nonetheless, they cynically embrace U.S. policy under the banner of peace. The imperialist powers support Israel's genocide because it is in line with their geopolitical interests. If Israel's action conflicted with those interests, they would be halted immediately. As German Chancellor Friedrich Merz bluntly admitted, quote, Israel is doing the dirty work for all of us. Backed and armed by the United States, Britain, France, Spain, Italy, Canada, and Australia, the Zionist regime functions as a proxy for imperialist domination of the oil-rich Middle East. Mass and growing opposition to Israel's crimes exists throughout the world. What is lacking is a clear program and perspective. The International Committee of the Fourth International and its associated Socialist Equality Parties insist that the genocide will not be stopped through appeals to the very capitalist governments carrying out and enabling the genocide. What is urgently required, and what has not yet occurred, is the independent eruption of the working class onto the political stage. We propose that workers and young people throughout the world raise definite demands, including an immediate halt of shipment of all weapons to Israel. Since the beginning of the genocide, it is estimated that Israel has received some $25 billion in weapons and other assistance. The vast majority of bombs dropped on Palestinian homes has been provided by the United States and the European imperialist powers. The boycott of all trade and other economic activity with Israel. The ability of the Israeli state to carry out the genocide must be halted by crippling its economic foundations. A recent comment in the Financial Times noted that since October 2023, Israel's stock market has been the best performing in the world, with an influx of foreign capital fueling the wealth of the ruling elite and financing the Zionist regime's ability to murder Palestinians. U.S., European, and other corporations assisting Israel in carrying out the genocide must be indicted and prosecuted. The ruling class internationally is arming Israel behind the backs of the population and reaping vast profits by providing the IDF weapons, AI, and surveillance infrastructure, just as corporations like IG Farben profited from making Zyklon B gas for the gas chambers the Nazis used to kill Jews. Washington retaliated against UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese's denunciation of this economy of genocide by revoking her visa and freezing her bank accounts, the arrest of Israeli officials for war crimes. International arrest warrants have already been drawn up against many Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but are ignored by the imperialist powers. Moreover, serving in the IDF are many citizens of the U.S. and European countries. They should be subject to arrest and prosecution if it is determined that they in any way contributed to the genocide. The end of repression of the opposition to the Gaza genocide. Capitalist governments, including those that signed this week's statement, have relentlessly criminalized opposition to the genocide. They have carried out mass arrests against organizations criticizing it, launched bloody police assaults on pro-Gaza protests, and prosecuted defenders of Gaza on bogus terrorism or anti-Semitism charges. Workers and youth must fight to defend those who came out in defense of Gaza, for charges against them to be dropped and to end the repression of their activities. These demands will not be achieved through appeals to the governments and institutions responsible for the genocide. It requires the intervention of the international working class through strikes, walkouts, and other forms of independent action. This means organizing outside the stranglehold of the trade union apparatus, which in every country has done nothing to stop the slaughter in Gaza. The struggle must unify workers across all borders, Palestinian, Israeli, American, European, and beyond, in a common fight against imperialist war, genocide, and the capitalist system that produces them. This includes Israeli workers, who must reject the Zionist regime and its crimes. There are significant layers of the Israeli population who are horrified by the actions of their government. In earlier decades, the Israeli state honored non-Jews who resisted the Nazis as, quote, righteous among the nations, unquote. Today, Israelis who recognize the criminal character of the genocide must speak out and take action. The fight against the genocide in Gaza is inseparable from the fight against the expanding global imperialist war, of which it is a component part. The aim of the imperialist powers to create a new Middle East under their domination is inseparable from their broader war plans against Russia and China. The World Socialist website, the International Committee of the Fourth International, and its affiliated socialist equality parties call for an end to the Gaza genocide through the building of a new international anti-war movement. This movement must be grounded in the working class and based on a revolutionary socialist program. Its goal must be to abolish the capitalist profit system, which is the root cause of war. Trump's War Against the Fed Intensifies by Nick Beams. Despite warnings from the financial establishment that any lessening of the independence of the U.S. Federal Reserve would have major consequences for the financial position of the U.S. and undermine the dominant role of the dollar, there is a continuing push by U.S. President Donald Trump and sections of his supporters to have Fed Chair Jerome Powell removed from his position. While Trump has said he has no plans to remove Powell, having received legal advice that an attempt to do so would likely fail if it went to the Supreme Court, he has maintained a virtual daily barrage against the Fed chair over his refusal to lower interest rates. The Fed reduced its base interest rate by 1 percentage point between September and December last year, but since then has kept rates on hold, citing uncertainty over the direction of inflation and the impact of Trump's tariffs on prices. On Tuesday, Trump claimed Powell's refusal to make cuts was, quote-unquote, political. He said Powell had cut rates, quote, just before the election to try to help Kamala Harris or whoever he was trying to help he probably didn't know, unquote. Speaking at an event with Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., Trump said the economy was strong, blowing through everything and setting records, but people were unable to buy a house because Powell was a quote-unquote numbskull and was keeping rates too high. Trump's professed concern for home buyers is a cover for the real reasons for his demand for rate cuts, which lie not in the supposed strength of the U.S. economy, but rather the developing crisis within its financial system. The maintenance of relatively high rates over a sustained period is impacting on the highly leveraged financial system, as well as the commercial real estate market, and is adding to the interest bill on the U.S. government debt of $36 trillion, now at around $1 trillion and rising. Trump has claimed high rates are costing the government hundreds of billions of dollars. In a handwritten note to Powell earlier this month, he wrote, quote, "You are, as usual, too late. You have cost the USA a fortune and continue to do so," unquote. Plucking figures from the air, as is his usual practice, Trump claimed that reducing the Fed rate by 3 percentage points would save the government $900 billion on the interest bill. At the same time, independent analysis has estimated that his big, beautiful budget, with its tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy, would add $3.3 trillion to government debt. The persistence of the conflict and the intensity with which it is being fought from the Trump side indicates that it is not merely some kind of spat, but has its roots in real financial issues, centering on the rise and rise of U.S. debt. With the door to an outright removal of Powell appearing to be closed, and with opposition to that course within the top levels of the administration, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is against it because of the turbulence it would cause, attention has been directed to finding another route. This was suggested by Trump last week, when he suggested that major overruns on the $2.5 billion renovation of the Fed headquarters could provide a cause for Powell's removal. This course of action is also on shaky ground because having cause is generally regarded to pertain to malfeasance, that is, intentional wrongdoing by a public official. It might well be argued that if a cost overrun is cause for removal, then no public official is safe. But such is the intensity of the opposition to Powell and the insistence that interest rates must come down, that the campaign over the Fed renovations has been stepped up. Today, the Fed is allowing top aides to Trump, including his deputy chief of staff, James Blair, to tour the construction site. An article in the New York Times noted, quote, Mr. Blair was recently appointed to a little-known planning board responsible for reviewing the Fed's renovation plans, suggesting the administration sees the central bank's project as a potential avenue to undermine Mr. Powell. Others are going further. Florida House Representative Ana Paulina Luna has formally referred Powell to the Justice Department for criminal investigation for allegedly misleading Congress over the Fed building renovation project. Luna, who last week, following a meetup with Trump, said the firing of Powell was imminent, and she had heard this from a very serious source, said Powell had made, quote, materially false claims, unquote, during testimony on June 25th. She said on social media platform X, quote, Chairman Powell knowingly misled both Congress and executive branch officials about the true nature of a taxpayer-funded project. Lying under oath is a serious offense, especially from someone tasked with overseeing our monetary system and public trust, unquote. The request for the investigation was set out in a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi. How far it might go remains to be seen. It depends on whether Trump decides that he should override opposition within his administration and seize on it. But the ongoing issue of the Fed renovations and the efforts to find cause against Powell point to the tensions and divisions within the ruling class. On Tuesday, the Murdoch-owned Wall Street Journal intervened with an editorial titled The Lunacy of Lawfare Against the Fed. It noted that for weeks, agitators within the Trump administration had flogged the Fed over office renovation as a pretext to harass Powell. Quote, now comes the lawfare with a criminal perjury referral against Mr. Powell to the Department of Justice from a member of Congress. How low can this crowd go? Unquote. The editorial went on to reference the wider issues of concern within powerful sections of the ruling class, that removing the independence of the Fed and making its chair subject to the dictates of the president would undermine the stability of the U.S. financial system. Quote, whatever Mr. Powell's rhetorical inexactitude, it's madness to create a new precedent for prosecuting officials for policy disagreement. Doing so is the road to the hyper-politicized monetary policy you'd expect in Argentina, unquote. The journal's intervention is significant, as it is another indication of the divisions within the ruling class that are being fought out on a number of fronts. It has opposed Trump's tariff war against the world because it undermines the capacity of the U.S. to form an alliance directed against the main enemy, China. And it has played a key role in reigniting the Jeffrey Epstein affair, publishing against Trump's intervention, and a threatened $10 billion lawsuit, details of his close relationship with Epstein. The splits and conflicts within the ruling class, not least over the role of the Fed, are not personal disputes. They are an expression of the deepening crisis of American capitalism and the global capitalist system as a whole, posing the necessity and opportunity for the working class to intervene politically in the fight for a socialist program. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.